Hello and welcome to the programme. You can visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. Well, a busy programme ahead of us tonight, and what a busy week it was for the entire team. Niall Hatch is in the studio with me here. We'll be hearing from Terry Flanagan. He witnessed a spectacular starling murmuration over Loch Ennell recently. And Aina Nealana in full flight at University College Cork. She was taking part in a sustainable futures forum.
And there's very high nitrate, there's very high phosphate levels, only 10% of the river sampling sites and 15% of the lake sampling sites are of pristine condition. I mean, there's five grades, Q54321, and there's only that small amount of them in pristine quality left in good, clean, holy, green Catholic Ireland. That's all that's left. I mean, us all, academics and people in the know and people who spent years learning about it, we know, but that's no good. The plain people of Ireland must realise this is happening, that it's bad and that it must be fixed. We have to convince them that it's important, that it involves changes in the values that we assign to habitats and wildlife here, that wildlife and habitats are not just the spaces that we don't want. The more spaces we want, we take, and whatever is left, well, sure, can't they retreat off over there? So we need to prioritise restoration and creation of the habitats from the wildlife. Build it and they'll come. I mean, we can't kidnap the curlews and say, come back here and let them off. We have to have the place ready. We can make the habitat, we can plant the stuff, but after that, the animals have their own minds. If we make it, they'll come. So that's what I think.
Thank you, Ian. And listen, I can see your passion after 50 years. It's just fantastic.
That's the Bald Aina Nealana. And Niall, you were sitting alongside her.
I was. I had the great pleasure and privilege of sitting beside my old radio sparring mate, Aina Nealana, as part of this panel discussion alongside Sean Ronan, who people will know from his Birdsong documentary and his book Nature Boy, real great advocate for nature. And the whole discussion was moderated by another great friend of the programme, Professor John O'Halloran, the president of UCC. And we were there to discuss particularly sustainability in relation to birds, what birds tell us about the environment, the warning signs that we're getting from bird surveys, the measures that conservation charities like Birdwatch Ireland put in place and the issues that we face. All of that. It's great to have a really good, robust discussion, and sure, no better woman than Aina to put everyone in their place.
No better woman indeed, and we'll hear a chunk of that a little bit later on, maybe in about 30 minutes or so. But Sean Ronan, you mentioned him there. A lot of people will be familiar with Sean. They heard him on with Brendan O'Connor. They saw him with Tommy Tiernan. They saw a television documentary about his work. His work, what is his work? Well, he is setting out to record every bird that appears on the Irish bird list. Am I right, Niall?
That's right, and it's a very tall order because recording birds isn't necessarily very easy. Certain species, as we know from our own Dawn Chorus programmes, birds like blackbirds and robins and so on, the ones we have around our gardens and homes, it's easy enough to record those. But what about the birds that live only at the top of the very highest mountains or in the most remote bogs and the ones that shun human beings completely, the ones that make very little sound except at very specific times of the year? That's a tall order. So Sean is doing remarkable work to get all those recorded. And it's actually a remarkable document for the future. I'm sort of, I suppose, keeping track of the changing sound of the soundscape in Ireland. We've lost so many birds, there's new birds arriving, it never remains the same. And in some cases, Sean has actually been documenting the very last of their species in Ireland. So it's quite poignant in many ways. Great work, and he's done a great deal to popularise nature among people in Ireland.
Well, speaking of documenting birds in this place at that time, I did a bit of it myself the other night, Thursday night, 27th of February, 25, it was about 6:15 p.m. I went out into my back garden and I heard a bird. Well, it appeared to be mimicking all sorts of other birds. And I looked up and it was kind of dark at that stage, so I could just see the silhouette. Anyway, I whipped out my recording machine. Niall, you can help me with this one. Have a listen.
To me, that sounds very like a song thrush. Something slightly unusual about it, certainly, and sort of some quite melodic phrases in there. But that sort of shrill tone to it, very insistent, that repetition that you're hearing, that's crucial there. So that's a song thrush to my ear. Very blackbird-like in the same family, closely related, and that would be very similar shape as well. I always like to try things on the Merlin Bird ID app from Cornell University, the Cornell Laboratory of Ornithology, which I know a lot of our listeners use.
Yeah, well, stick it on there, Niall, stick it on. What does it say it is?
instantly it's hitting with song thrush. It's picking up the robin we can hear in the background occasionally there as well. There's been a magpie sort of chacking away there occasionally too, but consistently saying song thrush. And it's analysing not just the sounds and the repetition, it's getting the actual frequency range there too. So I think we can be confident it was right there. But having said that, song thrushes, they do mimic. So maybe it is throwing some blackbird-like phrases in there. I can certainly hear it mimicking magpie at certain points. It's mimicking what sounds like a herring gull at other points. Mm. And that's classic for a song thrush. They do incorporate the sounds from their environment in a way that blackbirds don't. So that's I think Merlin and I agree on this one.